I'd like to call this evening's meeting to order. I'd also like to let everyone in attendance know that the board did meet in executive session at 6 o'clock tonight to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. Please join me now in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Chris, would you please take the roll call?
Supervisor Zabuda?
Here.
Supervisor Moyer?
Here.
Supervisor Ford?
Here.
Supervisor Engel?
Here.
And Supervisor Weir?
Here.
Vice President, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to remind everybody that all the public sessions of the Township of Theory Board of Supervisors are recorded for the purpose of creating accurate minutes. And our speakers are asked to limit their comments to 3 minutes or less. For those of you who are new to the board meetings, I'll let you know that we do have a simple way to help you self-regulate. When you start to make your comments, I will turn this to green. When you've got a minute left, I'll turn it to yellow so you can start to wrap up. And then when your time is up, I'll turn it to red, just as a way for you to make sure that you're getting your points across in 3 minutes. It does help us move the meeting along, and it also is a great way to make sure that everyone in the audience has an opportunity to speak. With that, we will then move on to our first session of visitor and public comment. We do this twice, first at the beginning of the meeting and also at the very end. So I'd invite anyone who would like to address the board, please, to come up to the podium and just give us your name and your address and let us know what's on your mind this evening.
Just one, yeah. Richard Gamble, Hopkinsville Road. I'm coming tonight to basically bring a little history back to the board. We're at a point where we're going to change the makeup of the board again, and we're going to see a 40% change. Prior to another board member coming or leaving, any big budget item was held until the next board came on to take the stewardship and fiscal responsibility for the next 6 years, so to speak. I'm asking tonight that you present what you want to do, but not make a decision or vote on moving forward, because I think with the expense over budget what was originally planned, and also looking at other numbers within our budget, so far like 32.9% over budget, so it tells me that we have some fiscal responsibility. It's going to take a lot of work. So any four of the new supervisors, or any four of the candidates running, any four of them have a different platform that is focusing on the residents of the community and not so much the needs of the community that sometimes are overlooked. Now, like I said, last time a big budget item was coming up for cash, the supervisor withdrew and said he's not going to vote. And it's been a practice. I think this board should give the same courtesy to the oncoming new board members to let them pick up and carry forward. There's no rush. Another month or 2 months is not going to make any difference in the pool. We need a pool. There's no question about it. But can we afford it? And do we really want what you want to present? I think if we do this, present it tonight, I think it's great so we can look at it, but then have another public hearing so that we can get people out here to give their input and not just a certain few people making input. I think it's very important that we look at this. Transparency is important here. And again, have the courtesy of allowing the new board members to come in and pick up the reins and try to negotiate and reduce their costs in the township so that we as taxpayers don't bear the burden. Thank you.
Linda Iyer, 2321 Raleigh Road. I have two questions regarding item A on the agenda. First of all, when it says you are going to proceed with solicitation for bids for the Dairy Township Community Center project, does that include solicitation of bids for a fitness center? Or is you going to move ahead with just purchasing a powertrain without bidding and making it available to other fitness centers? And second, are we going to hear about the business plan for the community center, or are you going with the numbers prepared by your consultants, which your track record with them has been very poor?
Are you looking for us to respond right now?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought you had more to offer.
No,
so when we get to the item on the agenda, those questions will be answered.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Jonathan Chris, 226 West Chocolate. In my capacity as an attorney for a group that lives in Stone Creek in Derry Township, I attended last night the Planning Commission meeting down in Londonderry Township. For those of you who have not been following what's been going on in Londonderry Township, in September they rezoned the whole north part of 230, that part of the strip of Route 230 from the township line at Middletown all the way to E-Town, industrial warehouse. They are planning three so far, massive warehouses, the first of which was before the Planning Commission last night and approved by their Planning Commission on a 3-2 vote. There was some split because of all of the considerations for that down there. The warehouse that is planned, that is current, of the three, the one that they are just voted on last night to send to the supervisors, is 1.275 million square feet. It is 21 football fields long. It is 55 foot high. And it comprises, and I quote, truck spaces for 242 trucks and 702 cars / delivery vans. They're not saying exactly who it's for, but the rumors are flying that it is for Amazon. Dovetails into Derry Township is the fact that all of the traffic in and out of that is going to go out Route 230. They're not, because of the design of the building and the fencing they have to have around it, everything is going to go out at 230. Their traffic plan shows the traffic going up to Toll House Road and getting on Toll House Road at 283. So 283 can take them east and west. But the only place they can go north and south from that is the Hummelstown-Middletown Road. They're all gonna get off at Vine Street and up and down Middletown Road. The estimate is something in the neighborhood of 1,000 vehicles a day. I don't know what percentage of that are going north and south, but it's basically gonna be delivery vans for Amazon. This whole plan is contingent upon one thing, getting the sewer from DTMA. And my suggestion to this board is that they need to put a hold on anything DTMA is going to do until there's an analysis of the traffic impact of what this is going to mean for the Hummelstown-Middletown corridor, because from what I'm hearing, it's going to be a disaster for the Hummelstown-Middletown. It's basically the only north and south exit they've got at that area. They've got no other way to get this into that area except to have it come out at Vine Street and come up and down the Hummelstown-Middletown Road. That's unless they're going east or west. And because they have no north and south. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
Good evening. Bob O'Donnell, 230 Java Avenue. I just would echo the comments of Mr. Gamble regarding what the board does in terms of such a large commitment of multi-million dollar projects. I would hope that the board waits for a new board to get in before anything's committed to moving forward on that. I think it's only fair as part of the system to allow the new board members you're gonna be saddled with determining how to pay for it and how to move forward with it. And there's an election coming up where this issue is prominent in that election. And I think the voters should be heard on that, depending on who they vote for. And I think it's only fair that it be tabled, and maybe you can respond to it when it comes up in the board meeting, just how the process will work with you all going forward with regard to that. Is there a plan to commit to it before, while you're in office, and then that's gonna be it? And then the new board will be settled with that or not? I guess I would just like to know that. as a voter, I think we should know that going forward. So it's one thing to, that's basically my comment on that, okay? I had one other thing, can't remember what it was, but that will be it, okay? Thank you for your time, and thank you for your service, appreciate it.
Thank you. And if you think of the other thing, come back later.
I will, thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing none, then we'll move on to the first item on our... we're going to move on to the first item of the agenda, which is the adoption of meeting minutes. Adoption of Board of Supervisor meeting minutes for October 8th, 2009, Board of Supervisors public hearing at 6 o'clock, and also the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes. Mr. Crispin, can I take these together, or do they?
Yes.
Does anyone have any changes to either the hearing or the board minutes? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve both the public hearing minutes as well as the supervisor meeting minutes for October 8th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And also abstain.
Mr. Moyer was absent.
Yes, please.
Doing that. So that motion carries. Those minutes for both the hearing and the meeting are thereby approved. New business. First item on the agenda, project update and request for authorization to proceed with solicitation of bids for the Darien Township Community Center project. Mr. Crispin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As this board is aware, the Darien Township Community Center project has been redesigned since bids were previously rejected at your meeting on April 9th earlier this year. The board did authorize our design team who's here this evening, and Aaron Bricker from RGS is here, Jonathan Trump from Kimmel Bogret is here, and Greg Kousis from Capital Construction Management is here as well. And I'll be turning it over to them shortly. But back in July 23rd to be exact, the board did authorize us to move forward with option A. If you recall, it's a 35-meter competition pool design with an indoor leisure pool. The design team has been meeting regularly since that authorization was given. Tonight, they're here to come before this board and the community to present the project as it stands today. And we are in a position now where the plans are suitable to go out for bid should this board decide that you wish to authorize that to happen this evening. So at that point, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Bricker, if you would like to begin your presentation relative to the site changes.
Thank you for the introduction. Good job, there you go. So as Mr. Crispin summarized, I just want to give a brief overview from a site planning perspective. This is a graphic rendering just to give everybody some context. What's currently proposed. The site plan has been updated with the current single-story building, which you can see in the white same location, just slightly revised building footprint. As everybody is aware, Cocoa Castle sits out here along the road frontage. Cocoa Castle remains unimpacted by the site plan, so that's pretty much going to remain the same. So with the additional updates to the site plan, the outside pool has been redesigned, taking a look at some additional programming needs, but the primary improvements in this area, the project have pretty consistent with the prior design. Some of the improvements over the library property, being the access drive connection that previously came out to the south down here, there's some work on the culvert and some associated improvements with the parking configuration. And that's been removed from the site plan. To lower the site costs associated with that. Also, as part of the design and the construction document preparation, two improvements are looked at are being broken out as alternates, just to better inform the pricing associated with those improvements. Those being the pedestrian connection to the middle high school shown over here, as well as the angle parking in front of the library shown down here in the inset map. They're still proposed, still accounted for, just being priced as alternates, so that there's individual costs associated with those that are going to be broken out, just to better inform the pricing process. Just as previously proposed, the pedestrian walkway, the bridge connection up here near the Early Childhood Center is proposed in much of the same configuration. Plans have been submitted to the Township and the Conservation District. Plan to be in front of the Planning Commission in November, and then back in front of all of you in the December timeframe. So I will hand it over to John.
Derek, the bridge at the top of the screen there.
Yes.
Similar to the prior configuration. In other words, it's not being priced as an alternate, it's being proposed.
No, there's only two site components that are being priced as an alternate. The walkway to the east over here to the high school and middle school, and the angled parking in front of the library. The pedestrian connection to the ECC is in the basement. That's part of the overall project.
Okay.
What do you mean by priced as an alternate?
Just a separate line item to identify the cost associated with that that individual improvement as a standalone item.
It's an alternate add to the base bid. So when the bids are received, the supervisors will have an opportunity to review that pricing and determine whether or not they want to include that in the project.
Correct. Just so that we have this right for the minutes, if you could.
Thank you.
Please. And for all three of you, if you could just make sure the microphone's closer to your mouth, because you're all tall and it's hard to hear.
Greg Fusas, Capital Construction Man. Just as a clarification to your question, Martin, the alternates are being priced as alternate adds to the base bid. So the bidders will insert pricing, as Aaron had pointed out, so that the board will understand what the costs of those components are, and we'll have an opportunity to review and make a determination as to whether or not they want to include them in the project or exclude them.
And that deals primarily with the connectivity with the library and the school?
It deals with the parking, the angled parking that is in front of the library, mm-hmm. and one of the proposed connections to the school district property, the one that connects the middle school parking lot to the community center parking lot. The connection, the bridge connection that's to the north that Aaron had mentioned, which connects the ECC parking lot to the community center parking lot, is included in the base bid because the overflow parking that's being provided at the ECC by the school district, by that agreement with the district, is a requirement for overflow parking during events at the community center.
And that's a vehicular bridge you're talking about?
It is not. It is a pedestrian bridge only. It is an ADA accessible pedestrian bridge that will allow event parking to happen in the ECC lot and for those people that are parked there to get walk to the community center.
Okay. Yes. Thank you.
John?
Were you done, or did you have more to offer?
I'll answer one more question.
We may, but not at this moment.
Okay.
And John, if you could just tell us your name.
Yep, Jonathan Trump. I'm with the project architect from Kimmel Bograd Architects. Happy to be here tonight. And first on the screen, actually was hoping to present some of these tonight, and you guys beat me to the punch. They're all sitting down in the lobby, so very nice. I don't have to go through too much of that, I guess. All right. So, like Chris said earlier, we were here last before you in late July, offered a number of plans. The board picked, I guess, what was option A. It's a 90,000 square foot community center with two indoor pools. The original center was around 115,000 square feet, so a total reduction of about 25,000 square feet. The original center was two stories with a basement. We are now all one story. There's no second floor, no basement. So the plan that you see here was a plan that we presented pretty much back at that time. Obviously, we've gone through the construction documentation process. Some tweaking has occurred, but for all intents and purposes, the building that you see up here is the building that we'll be building. The parking lot is basically here. Your access across the top, Cocoa Avenue here on the left. If you come into the building, we've got this large central lobby that becomes our organizing principle for the building, depending on where you want to go. The area in yellow here is our staff offices, things of that nature. If you continue down the hall, our main entrance into the 35 meter pool is here. We have spectator seating for around 400 people. We have swimmer seating for about 200 swimmers, so all told around 600 people in the competition pool area. We, if you go north, we still have the senior center in here with classroom spaces. There is a separate senior entrance here. We have these three event spaces that are subdividable with a folding partition, so it could be one big space, three small spaces, or anything in between. Those spaces are also served by what we call a catering kitchen. Food can be brought in and served at events. If you continue to come down the main lobby, you'll see the teen center still exists. And as you come even further down, you have a large cardio fitness area. This area, predominantly in green here, would be all your workout machines, treadmills, things of that nature. We have also two small fitness rooms, one sort of dedicated for spin, the other one up here for things like yoga and Zumba and anything else that the community center would like to offer. Continuing even further down the corridor, you'll see the gymnasium. What's not quite showing well on here is we have a running walking track that runs the perimeter of the basketball court. We'll have it striped for volleyball and pickleball and things of that nature as well. And as you come basically all the way to the end of the lobby, we also have another large group fitness area, and this corridor will lead you down to what we sort of call the wet corridor, which is all the locker rooms, changing facilities that are shared by both the indoor leisure pool that's here and the competition pool. Off the bottom of the page here is your outdoor seasonal pool. We have concession stands and check-in and things of that nature here at the bottom. So pretty much everything that we've discussed for a long, long time. Everything fit and worked well. Go to the next photo. I think we have a series of six or eight interior renderings just to give folks a feel for how the center is going to lay out. I mentioned earlier that this is the linear lobby, really, again, the organizing principle. We've sort of, in this view, walked right in the front door. So we've got a check-in counter here along with a cafe area. And everything goes down here towards the back. You can see where we're going to have the entrance to the senior center. This element that shows up here in blue is the main entrance to the competition pool. If we can have the next slide. We've now come about 3/4 of the way down the lobby and turned around. So we entered the building back here from the parking lot. Again, you can sort of see the entrance piece here to the competition pool. We've sort of maintained this idea of having this community living space with TV and fireplace and things of that nature. And we go a little further. We've now sort of turned back around. We're here towards the end of the lobby. This check-in desk is for the fitness center. And in the distance here, we can see through the doors to the gymnasium and the large exercise, and we do have a child watch area as well. And sort of turned, and we're now looking into the teen zone, room envisioned with ping pong tables, foosball tables, gaming consoles, study table here in the back. And we keep going. We've really gotten to the end of the corridor, and we're sort of making a left-hand turn. You can see the large group exercise room here. And through that glass, you can see the leisure pool in the background. The large group fitness room is also subdividable, so it can be used not only for group fitness, but it can be subdivided into two to be used as party rooms or anything for the leisure pool. I think we are now in the basically what we call the senior lobby. We talked earlier about having these event spaces, and they're really off to the side here. I think the last photo will get us in there, but we basically walked in the seniors' entrance. There's a coffee station back here, and down around the corner would be access to all the classrooms that we've shown. And now we've actually walked into the event spaces. The folding partitions that are shown here, obviously we've got a big event going on. Looks like I'm giving a presentation there at the end. But again, like I said, these can be subdivided and rented in any way, shape the township sees fit. So now we've actually come back outside. So we're in the parking area, and A lot of what we did the second time around here is work to reduce the construction cost of the project, obviously. So we've gone to a lot of pre-manufactured elements for the building. So you're seeing sort of a pre-manufactured insulated metal siding, same here, some pre-manufactured insulated concrete panels. But basically the parking lot is here. Off to the right is the access to the site. And this is the main entrance to the lobby. Continuing on, now we're in the back, the seasonal pool, which we've mentioned, and this rendering is a bit old. This does not have the most current pool design, outdoor pool design, but the back of the building shows exactly what we're going to have. We've got a large covered area here where check-in and concessions and lifeguards come through here. The township really desired to have a strong connection between the indoor leisure pool and the outdoor pool. So we've got this glass and translucent panels and doors that can go in and out between the two. And the next photo, this is basically we've just turned off of Coco and we're coming in to access the site. And the two large elements that you see here, we tried to break the scale of this project down a little bit by this being the gymnasium, and the element in the back is actually the indoor leisure pool. And this other gable element that you see here is actually the event spaces at the senior area. And I think we may have one more, and we've gone a little bit further, and this is the event spaces we talked about are behind that glass right there. We've got a large covered area so that events in there can spill out and be covered by shade or inclement weather. So it should be a good offering for that as well. So that may be the end of my slides. All right. So is there any questions on floor plan, interior elevations, materials, things of that nature that I can answer for you?
I know you've said all this, but if you could maybe just consolidate sort of the differences between this and the original plan, just so that people can understand. I mean, obviously you mentioned losing a second floor, losing a basement, but it looks like a lot of the same things are in this project, and certainly the spirit of what the community center was is in there. But if you could draw the comparisons.
Absolutely. In the spirit, we really did tighten up a lot of things. Obviously, a large chunk of that square footage went away when the pool was reduced from the 50 to the 35 meters, so we lost a lot of square footage there. We gained some square footage back when the fitness component became larger, but really, you've really sacrificed almost nothing to make it this small. We had one gym before. We had a suspended running track that went around when we had a second floor. Now that running track is on the same floor as the gym. The event spaces, the classrooms, the whole wet corridor, the access to the seasonal pool, the leisure pool remained identical. So. Really, we were able to tighten up, obviously, on the size of the competition pool, but you really retained almost all your program elements.
And some changes for the better to the outdoor pool?
Yes, the outdoor pool was actually redesigned. We worked with the township. I think, Justin, you had come away with a lot of input from the residents that really wanted to have the diving well come back.
Yeah, do you have any drawings of the outdoor pool?
I think just that rendering.
Just that rendering. You can see it. See it there a little bit. We blow that up.
It does have the diving pool.
Oh, perfect. So, this design changed significantly from the last time around. Still has a lot of the same elements. What it really adds is this diving well here with the two diving boards. So this is your deep water here. We still have the zero entrance and a lot of the play features here for the younger kids. We still have the exterior slide, and just to add on the add alternates conversation before, that is an add alternate that the board can look at the price and choose at the time. And then really the remainder of the pool in here is deeper water, swim lanes for doing laps to stay out of the way from kids playing and splashing. But this went under a major redesign.
Mm-hmm. And the inclusion of the laps, that's different from the original outdoor pool design.
Yes.
But The original pool design had some lap lanes, but this actually, just with some minor tweaks, actually creates a six-lane pool that you could have swim meets in the mornings. So for small children outdoors in the summertime, that meets. So it was just a small tweak, but I think that we were hard on making sure that the outdoor pool served as many community members as possible. And we feel strongly that this pool serves the community way better than the previous pool did.
Well, there were a lot of components in that original, proposed pool that I guess Justin and I felt uncomfortable with from the very beginning. We discussed it, and then Justin came up with he went to a number of different pools and he came up with a squared version, and it seems to make better use of the space.
Yeah, I think it's worked out really well.
Yeah.
And just two other components while we're out here, just that they're not shown, an additional add alternate. In this spot right here, we show in the documents a splash pad that could also be added. So that's really just sort of the water squirting up out of the ground for the really young kids, so they don't have to be actually in the pool. And we actually show some additional shade structures along the western side here that can also be an add-on in the pool area. So you'll have a lot of choices when the bids come in on what you want to do out here. Any other questions? All right, well, I'll sit back down and we'll let Greg take over.
No questions.
Yeah.
Greg Kousis, Capital Construction Manager. So just sort of as a wrap up to what Aaron and John have presented to the board and to the public, since the last project, there's been a number of changes to the plan. It's smaller by roughly 25%, single story, no basement. One of the things that John didn't mention in terms of changes to the plan and allowing the square foot reduction in the plan is really that change from multiple stories to a single story is economizing in a number of ways, just in terms of circulations within the building, stair towers, elevators. So that was also another significant change. But programmatically, you don't really see a big difference in terms of what's being delivered. One of the other things that the project team has discussed for the revised documents and the revised bid is changing the overall schedule duration. Clearly, that was some feedback from the contractors during the bid process, and as we continue along through just 2019 in general and understanding where the market is and how busy contractors are, there was a request for a longer construction duration. So what's being proposed is that this project would be put out to bid with a 22-month construction duration. Currently, if the board authorizes us to move forward with construction bidding, it would be released tomorrow to the contractors. We are expecting a roughly 4-week bid process. So bids due November 20th. And then evaluation of bids and present them to the board sometime in December. 22-month schedule takes us through the fall of 2021. One of the things that the operations consultant had suggested was that it's important to open a facility before January in any year. That's really sort of the prime time that you want to try and hit. So dovetails well with that timeline. And as John mentioned, the costing portion of this, we had done some budgeting when the board was looking at the four different options, and those were budgets that were developed based on the bid prices that were received in April. The project has not been re-estimated at this point, because we've been going through and doing redesigns. John said we've been trying to look at any number of different options to try and reduce that square foot cost beyond just shrinking the building, but also reducing cost of the components to make the cost per square foot hopefully smaller. As Aaron mentioned, there's a few of the site work things, a few of the site work scope items that have been taken out of the project. In addition to that, which you can't see on these drawings or at this scale, the steel for the building has been completely redesigned. Obviously, it's a different look to the building. Single story certainly takes out a lot of the steel components to the project to begin with, but also by reducing some of the spaces, predominantly in the pool areas, we're able to take what were really big, large steel shapes and make them into more manageable shapes and sizes. I guess the only other thing that I wanted to mention to the board and to the public, when I was here 2 weeks ago and did sort of a really quick presentation as to where we were and what we were going to be bringing forward on the 22nd tonight. One of the residents, Wayne Rivers, had suggested having other people take a look at the documents and review them and make some recommendations. I don't think that's a bad idea. Certainly, if the board authorizes for the project to go out to bid, those documents are available for anyone to take a look at and to review. In addition, I've spoken to Don Sanstefano, and he's offered to review those documents as well. So that's really about all I have to add to the presentation. If there's any questions for any of the three of us, certainly.
Just to tie into the last point that you just made, if whether it's Don or any other resident who's interested in taking a look at the drawings to make any kind of suggestions, is it all right for them just to reach out directly to you with their thoughts?
Absolutely. Yeah. Excuse me. If anyone wants to take a look at the drawings, they've got suggestions, recommendations, observations. The design team, myself, and the rest of the team would welcome those, review them, obviously, and if appropriate, they can be addressed as part of an addendum process.
You mentioned a bunch of add-ons or alternate things. Is potentially a phased opening where the outdoor pool might open prior to the rest of the building still something that might be put out as part of the bid?
Yeah, we had discussed that as an alternate. It was bid as an alternate during the last project as well, the last phase of this project, as an add alternate so that the board can evaluate what the incremental cost is to open really what ends up being the outdoor pool, the indoor pool, the indoor leisure pool, and the locker rooms ahead of schedule for the rest of the facility. If that cost is something that the board decides is palatable and they decide that they want to pursue, there's an opportunity to include that accelerated portion of the schedule in the project.
Great. Thank you for your analysis and the other analysis as well. If we send these designs out for bids and contractors review these, they start working the project and to come up with an analysis, how then can a third party come forward and if they have some ideas or they spot some issues, how is that not going to affect the bidding that comes in if sort of the contract or the architectural design drawings or engineering design drawings are out there being evaluated and something needs to be changed? How does that play into that whole scenario?
With almost every bid process, there is an addendum process that also goes along with that. I have not been involved in a single project where there hasn't been at least one addendum issued, which is a correction or an adjustment to the original issuance of documents. So as thorough and complete as all the coordination within the design professionals can be, but if there's always something that gets brought up during the bidding process by the contractors that are looking at it in a different fashion than the designers are. So to your question, if there are suggestions, recommendations, options that someone wants to bring forward, then certainly the design team could take a look at that, and if appropriate, make adjustments during the day. That needs to happen pretty quickly in the beginning part of the design of the bid process in order not to impact the bid due date.
So that was my big question, was where in the process, because the people, potential bidders are only going to have like 4 weeks, how many weeks to look at this and submit for you? 4 weeks?
We're putting it out initially with a 4 week bid process.
Yes.
Well, again, we're not suggesting, and you're not looking for public comment on redesigning this. You're looking for people with engineering background who choose to look for real particular things.
Correct. We don't really have an opportunity to look at this in a way that we're going to talk about major significant redesigns. That's correct.
So ideally, like, that addendum would go out within 10 days of the project going out for bid?
Ideally, yeah. We want to get it out as early as possible so that we're not trying to make the contractors adjust to something at the last minute. Addendums often go out as late as a week before the bid is due.
Fred, could you just talk, I know we've all spoken to you about this, but just for more for the public's edification, can you talk a little bit about the process that you and your team undertook to come up with these designs, to cost them out, to ensure that this time when they go out for bids that we're going to be in a good spot? I think that's probably a question on everybody's mind, and I know you've spent a lot of time with your team making sure that everything is correct and estimated properly.
Well, as I had mentioned back in July and again earlier tonight, we had gone through a significant estimating exercise before the bids went out the last time. The bids came back in much higher than we had estimated for a variety of reasons, but nevertheless, the market had spoken. They indicated that the cost of construction was $330 a square foot. That's what those bids came in at. So, as I said earlier, we have gone through the design process with the design team, both the civil engineer and the architect and all of their sub-consultants, looking for opportunities to reduce costs on a cost per square foot basis, but we have not re-estimated the project since it was bid. The bid results are kind of the gold standard. You've gone out and asked the marketplace what it costs, the marketplace has told you. So for anyone to go back and re-estimate it and say, no, it's a lot higher, or it's a lot lower, really is kind of specious. It's not a very good argument. The market has told us what the cost per square foot of the last project was.
It's a positive to come from the exercise, for sure. Great.
Any of the three you have, anything else you want to add? Thank you. By way of discussion,
I was just taking a breath, so we'll go first.
Okay. Greg, I really appreciate your comments. I too feel strongly about, based on the size and scope of this project and the significant changes that have been made to the project since the last go around, that I really think we need to get an independent third-party review of the architectural design drawings in this case for a number of different reasons. And I do not want to insinuate that anything was intentionally or improperly overlooked, but we recently discovered, for example, that the pools were going to be 3.5 feet deep, and we rectified that problem. But my concern is what else has been overlooked, such as the mechanicals. Are they sufficient? Are they placed in the location that will facilitate maintenance, repair throughout the life of the project, the heating and air conditioning aspect? Is that sufficient as designed? Is it appropriately located in proper zones to maximize efficiencies? And also to facilitate repair and or replacement. Things like, we're gonna have lights above the swimming pools, right? Obviously, something, and it shows of knowledge on this, but how are they going to be replaced? Is there something as simple as, is there a mechanism by which those repair, those lights will be repaired and replaced without having to empty the swimming pools, for example?
Would you like one of us to answer that
question? Sure. I mean, is there a way? I mean, I'm just trying to brainstorm things as a layperson.
So they're, the lights in the pool areas are LEDs, long life, shouldn't need to be changed very much at all. Yeah. The pool design, the lighting in the pools has been designed to minimize any fixtures that are over water. Yeah. In the leisure pool, there are no fixtures over water. In the competition pool, because the lighting levels there are requested to be higher during events that might be photographed or televised, there are some fixtures over the water area that are switched separately, so they're anticipated that they would be on less and, again, need to be changed less frequently. Now, LED fixtures are supposed to have a 40,000-hour runtime, which may be, 15 years worth of
time. Yeah. And that was just an example. Maybe a poor example, but it's a layperson's.
So to answer your question, all of that was discussed at length and addressed.
My biggest concern is that, look, I don't think it's any secret that I think the next board ought to make the milestone decisions on this project, but my bottom line concern is that we minimize the risk of change orders that need to be done on this project, especially at the size and magnitude, because it's the next board that's going to bear the burden of having to figure out how to pay for those change orders and so forth. And I don't think we should burden them with that, or at least we should at least do what we can to reduce the likelihood of that through a third-party review. My other concern, though, is that we don't yet have a fitness component figured out of this on this project, and all of our consultants have indicated that we need a very robust fitness component to this project to offset the monetary losses that we're going to experience as a result of the amount of water envisioned by this plan. And I just ask whether or not we should move forward with a design that contemplates this amount of water, especially with the second swimming pool, before we approve the fitness plan. In other words, should we have a fitness plan in place first before we approve architectural design drawings for two indoor pools?
I think we've talked about the need to have a partnered model, and even though at this point we don't have an agreement in place for a partnered model, I think we're all, based on SFA's recommendations, understanding the need to have a partnered model. So I was thinking about this very thing today, that if for whatever reason we don't move forward with the partner we're discussing doing fitness with, we'd have much more fitness space than we might want to if we were running this on our own. However, based on the business plan and SFA's recommendations, it sounds like we'd be better off running this as a partnered model regardless. So therefore, I don't really feel like it interferes with our ability to move forward with approving the designs and the fitness as laid out, because even if we didn't move forward with one partner, we'd move forward with another partner. So that's how I kind of
That's a great point. I agree with you on that. I just thought that perhaps we'd want to get that shored up before we commit to having designs drawn with as much water as is being envisioned in this project.
I think it's hard too, because I know that you mentioned, Mark, and certainly other residents have said over time that it's best to wait till a new board is in place. And I think it's very, very difficult for this board or any government organization at any level to do business with that kind of a philosophy. And the decision that we're going to make tonight and the decision that we'll make in December isn't just a decision for the the three remaining board members and the two board members that will be coming on. It's a decision for boards for many, many years to come, for decades to come. And yes, the change orders might hit the new five that are coming on, but this project is something that's going to be long-lasting in our community. And if we can't make a decision as a board on projects like this, then we can't function as a board. So I feel very, very confident that the five people on this board have spent an inordinate amount of time working on this project and many, many others over the years. In fact, this conversation started, serious conversation, in 2014, 2 years before I even joined this board, and I'm about to end my fourth year. So this is not something that this board, the previous board, or any board takes lightly. This is something we take very seriously, that we've given a tremendous amount of thought to. So I feel very confident in moving forward, making a decision tonight. People have talked about, you know, transparency. We have made sure every step of the way that the public was informed, that there were public meetings, that we posted pictures online. I mean, we've done everything we can. We've involved community members in the discussion. So some people maybe are just coming into the conversation, so I can appreciate that concern that maybe you don't feel as up to speed. But please trust and know that that this board and everybody who works in the township who has touched this project has made sure that the public has been informed and that everything we're doing is being vetted and being thoroughly investigated, from lighting to how the mechanics work to how the process is moving forward. And I, for one, feel very comfortable moving forward with the decision tonight.
But I do think we ought to have a robust third party look at this to minimize the risk of change orders, unnecessary change orders.
Well, I had thought the same thing, but then in talking with Greg, we have the what might seem like the unfortunate circumstance of having gone through the bid process and having denied the bids, but we have this incredible knowledge from having gone through that is the third party. We've had contractors bid and feedback to us in real time what things are going to cost. So you may not agree, but yeah. But I feel like that is our third party validation. And at this point, to enlist another organization that's not familiar with the project and to spend another $20,000 or $30,000 to vet a project that's already been looked at by contractors, I feel like we have that information that we need. And I feel very confident that this is not going out to bid without the confidence of those three gentlemen and their teams and everybody in this township and this board feeling good that it's going to come back on budget.
And I appreciate their expertise and their confidence, I really do, but this is a vastly different project than what those contractors looked at before. A lot of things changed design-wise, as Greg mentioned, which is why Greg even mentioned the fact that it might be a good idea to have a second or additional set of eyes.
Well, no, I don't think it hurts to have other eyes looking at it. You know, if, like, we have people in this township with incredible skills. I mean, people who serve on planning commissions and other boards who, this is what they do for a living, they are engineers. But if anything, this project, while I think it's just as beautiful and as amazing as the first project, it's less of a project than the first one. It's less expensive, the materials are less expensive, the square footage is less. So if anything, the feedback that we got from the first project should let us know that the second smaller project should be more affordable.
But affordability has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about the technical aspects of things, of the mechanicals, of the air conditioning, the location of the redesign, technical aspects of the facility. It's not a question of what the bids come in at or less cost of the overall project. The question is whether or not there are things that have been overlooked or that can be improved upon to reduce or minimize the amount of change orders. That's awesome. I'm not disagreeing with it.
No.
I'm just saying
I think that, it's a good point, Mark. It's a huge project, and we don't want to be haphazard about it. I do think that Rick, myself, and Chris have a little bit of a unique perspective because we join the weekly call. So Rick and I serve on the design team, and so Rick and I aren't professionals at building community centers, but we're sort of the eyes and ears listening in. So every Thursday afternoon, we spend, and meetings have gotten shorter, but typically 2 hours every week listening to these guys. So we hear every part of the project. We hear all the detail. We hear all the, so we have the advantage of sort of watching the process and potentially have a higher level of confidence knowing that some of the stuff that you might question, we've heard talked about, and we've heard the detail and sort of John and the process he's going through. There's no question that John's firm has worked extremely hard the past months to get to this point, but I don't feel one bit that it's been haphazard or rushed, or that we're going out to bid before we should. And that's after listening to all the phone calls and sort of hearing the design team work through all the issues.
And I didn't want to suggest that it's haphazard.
Yeah.
By any stretch of the imagination.
Right, right. So I feel comfortable. At one point, when we did come in way over bid, I thought that an independent third party might make sense. And so after thinking about that more, the costs involved, and the potential benefit we get from that third party, I agree with Susan that I think that we have garnered amazing information from going out to bid the first time. And I think the grade numbers, based on a per square foot basis, I'm feeling comfortable with their level of conservativeness. To the other question, as to whether this board should vote on such a major project, I don't take that personally at all. Obviously, I'm one of the people that's going on the board. I don't take it personally, and I think it's valid for anybody to bring that up. I don't personally feel that I should not vote on this. You mentioned 2014, Susan. I was here in 2014 and helped to get these wheels going. So
was Mark. I mean, the two of you.
Yeah, so we have. We've been a long road. We've gone a lot of different ways. I couldn't feel more comfortable about the current plan and the programming that's being offered. And I feel more comfortable with this plan than I did the last plan. And I think we've come a long way. And to the second part of that, making the suggestion that maybe we're going to vote on a major project and then expect a future board to figure out how to pay for it, I don't think that's accurate at all. People may not like the way we're paying for this, but we've given so much thought as to how it will be paid for, and looking at our capital plan over the next 7 years. And so we are not approving some major project, passing it forward to some future board to figure out how to pay for it. So, I don't take it personally when people make that comment, but I feel in my heart that I have every right to vote for this project. With regard to the fitness, Susan, I agree. I think that we have not finalized any partnership yet, but I do believe that the fitness, I don't believe it, I know it, the fitness in this project is to the square foot, correct me if I'm wrong, it's to the square foot that Sports Facilities Advisory told us to build. They looked at our programming, they looked at our pools, they looked at our community, said this is what you should build in fitness to get the cost recovery that you're looking for. And they took it to the square foot and that's what we're building. So, we haven't finalized an agreement yet, maybe we won't, but at the end of the day, we will have fitness here, and it's being built to what our professionals told us to build. So I'm feeling comfortable moving forward.
I also feel very comfortable moving forward. I think our design team has done a remarkable job. I've watched this progress through the past 6 years, and I know this isn't the first building these people have built, and I think they have their plan in order, and we're ready to go. I think procrastinating at this point would be a tremendous setback for the whole program. Not being able to open the pool or getting to pull the community back into their fitness center in a timely manner is a valuable thing. That's the way I feel also.
I'm not used to speaking last. I usually speak first. I'm very excited about this. And as Justin said, I was involved in this the last 2 years of my existence here. And just even the first iteration, watching these guys and us go through these plans, and to Mark's point, we examined where the drains should be, such minutiae as the drains, door placements, shade placements. I mean, it was just stultifying sometimes, just listening to this and trying to figure out exactly what's going on. and to go along with the rest of these guys delaying this project is, we can't do that. It wouldn't make any sense at this point.
Well, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that there is a an idea of potentially setting aside some money in next year's budget for in the event that these bids come in too high and cannot facilitate the building of this, and that money could potentially be used to open the outdoor pool on a very limited basis.
Yes, as you just mentioned, the proposed budget, I've actually created two budgets. That's just so that we're prepared in any scenario, if in fact the bids would come in high and the board decided not to move forward, that we would at least have the ability to have the conversation of potentially operating the outdoor pool next summer. Once again, that's in the worst case scenario.
Right.
But didn't want to be in the same situation we were this past time when, at no one's fault, but it just the timing of everything, and we just hadn't budgeted funds to be able to operate. So, just as a fail-safe, but our intent is to be moving forward, moving our offices up here and reconstruct.
Okay. Matt, I know we all appreciate your continued dedication and passion for this project, as well as your staffs. I mean, we know that you're very, very excited about this, and can't wait to get in there and get her open and
Absolutely. Start
serving the community again.
Yeah, we're energized and we're very excited. Talking to other surrounding communities too, and just learning from some of the things they would have done differently in terms of the program offerings, and we're really excited. And the real satisfying thing with this redesign is that as Greg and John and Aaron had mentioned, we really haven't compromised the program. But have in fact reduced the square footage, so we're really excited for it.
And I think with the improvements to the outdoor pool, we can go a step further and say it's actually better in many ways.
Sorry, I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thank you, Matt.
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, if there is no more discussion on this item, I will make the motion that the Dairy Township Community Center project, as presented this evening, is in a form suitable to solicit bids for its construction, and hereby would like to authorize the design team to proceed with the solicitation of bids for this project. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And I'll respectfully decline for the reasons set forth.
And that motion carries. Thank you all for the good discussion. Let's move on to the next item on our agenda, item B8, consideration of the adoption of a decision for conditional use application number 2019-05 regarding 1625 East Chocolate Avenue, as filed by Brian and Laura Holton. Ms. Trammer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As discussed at the public hearing on October 8th, the applicants Brian and Laura Holton proposed to operate a specialty home at the property that they own at 1625 East Chocolate Avenue. That property is within our Palmdale mixed-use zoning district, and it's overlaid by the East Chocolate Avenue zoning district. During the course of that hearing, there were certain conditions that were offered up as conditions to be adopted if indeed the project is approved, the conditional use is approved. Those are listed as items A through L, the conditions they were read during the course of the public hearing. They are substantially identical to what was disclosed there. So tonight we're looking for adoption of the decision.
We were just looking at A through L, I'm sorry, so there's a lot of-
Happy to go through if you like, but-
No, it's, does anyone need Chuck to go through and save your voice for the next thing? Anyone have any questions of Chuck? Hearing none, do I have a motion that the decision for conditional use application number 2019-05 is hereby adopted?
I'll make that motion.
Moved by Mr. Weir. I'll second that. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, request for the extension of timeframes in which to address a condition of the decision rendered by the Board of Supervisors' Conditional Use Application 2017-4 as filed by CNS Cray Real Estate LLC and Sheets Inc. for a major fuel service establishment and a large-scale retail establishment at the crossing. Mr. Emery.
Thank you. So on January 23, 2018, the Board of Supervisors did render a decision approving the conditional use for this property. And that conditional use was required both for the fuel service station and for the large-scale commercial use. When that approval was granted, the applicant was given a two-year window within which to begin the project. They have not done so yet. They have requested an one-year extension. Time frames identified in condition J of that conditional use decision, which had stated the authorization granted herein shall expire if the zoning permit, building permit, or certificate of use and occupancy is not obtained within 36 months, I'm sorry, it was three, within 36 months of the date of the grant of the approval of the conditional use, or if a phase of the development is not under active land development plan review or active construction within 24 months of the date of the grant. I am recommending that the Board of Supervisors grant this extension, and just for the sake of clarity, that would be revising condition J to read, the authorization granted herein shall expire if a zoning permit, building permit, or certificate of use and occupancy is not obtained by January 23rd of 2022, or if a phase of the development is not under active land development plan review or active construction by January 23rd, 2021. That is the 2 and 3 year time frame projected out to it.
Anyone have any questions?
So the original approval was January 23rd?
2018.
That's just for 1 year.
So January 23rd, 2018, the original approval really required that they have a plan in here within 2 years. In order to keep the project alive, and understanding that they still have some time before they get a plan in because of trying to seek funds to do the road improvements that are necessary there, they've asked for the year extension in advance of when they must have it, but yeah, in anticipation.
So it would expire 2 years. It was a little over a year from now, it would expire.
Right.
They're asking for an extension preemptively for financing.
Well, actually, January of 2020 by today, which isn't that far away.
Right. Got it.
Chuck, one real quick question. The rumors always are swirling around the neighborhood about Sheets jumping ship. What do you know?
As I understand, Sheets is still in the game.
And we won't tell anybody.
I've not heard anything that they've jumped. This is this extension is being granted on behalf of Sheets as well.
Yes,
or being requested.
I think I'm going to read the motion since it's been a good 2 minutes since you read it. Usually I would just say as Chuck stated, but I'm going to read it just because it's a little complicated. I'll move that the Board of Supervisors grant the requested extension and that for clarity, condition J of the decision for conditional use application number 2017-04 be revised to read, the authorization granted herein shall expire if a zoning permit, building permit, or certificate of use and occupancy is not obtained by January 23rd, 2022. Or if a phase of the development is not under active land development plan review or active construction by January 23rd, 2021. Do I have a second?
Awesome.
Seconded by Mr. Moyer. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda, consideration of guide rail replacement bid proposal on Fiddler's Elbow Road.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Back in September, we had a vehicle leave the roadway on Fiddler's Elbow Road and damage about 90 feet of guide rail. That has prompted us, because the current guide rail is not up to today's spec, it's prompted us to replace the entire 400 feet that is out there. We sent out three bid packets. We received one back from William Moore and Sons from Jonestown. That's in the amount of $24,849.50. the insurance costs will offset approximately $5,000 to $6,000 of that. So we're recommending that that award be made to William Moore and Sons Incorporated.
Any questions for Tom? A motion to recommend that the contract for replacement of the Fiddler's Elbow Road guide rail be awarded to William Moore and Sons.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Zemuda.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And that motion carries. The next item on the agenda is reduction of the funds provided for the revised final land development plan for East Point Train Center, Building C, Plat 13,
14. Mr. Thank you. East Point Trade Center is a Hillwood Polaris LP project. It's located on North Lingle Avenue. It's a property that's located basically in front of the General Mills warehouse. It proposes to construct or is under construction of 284,450 square feet. Originally, performance security was provided in the amount of $989,152. HRG performed an inspection and provided a written recommendation that $412,511 is eligible for relief. If approved by the board, the new balance of security would be $576,641. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the $412,511 from the performance security provided for plot 1314, resulting in a new balance of $576,641.
Any questions? If not, I'll make a motion to approve as stated by Mr. Emmerich. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Zemuda. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that motion carries. The last item on the agenda, acceptance for final security stormwater management plan for NAMRAG LLC.
This was a project for parking lot expansion at 1026 Cocoa Avenue. HRG reviewed the cost estimate for the stormwater and has recommended that the financial security in the amount of $11,549 is to be provided. The applicant has provided the security in the form of the member's First Federal Credit Union letter of credit and has signed their portion of the Township Standard Agreement to provide financial security. I'm recommending the Board of Supervisors accept the financial security in the amount of $11,549 and also enters into the agreement to provide financial security between NAMRAG LLC and the Township for the stormwater management.
Chuck, what is that building? Is it a business or a residence?
It's an insurance place. Down from the main store, right in front of Dirt Town Mall. They just put in a whole new driveway there. It was grass.
I knew roughly where it was. I just couldn't. I know it was sort of near the vets and. It is, but I don't think that's the
building. It's further up.
Yeah, towards the bank.
No, further up towards the giant. Yeah.
Sorry, this question is not really related to how we're going to vote. I was just curious what it was.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. A good location of the property.
Yeah.
So
nice
this is for parking lot in the back. It will be timed to the other part. Yeah. It's a conversion from actually one of the last residences there to commercial. Hmm.
Isn't it up a little bit yet? Because that's my dentist on the left there.
Right there. It's going to connect into this this other parking lot. So it is this conversion. There was recently a parking lot built for the insurance company.
This way, two doors down.
Yeah, that project's been completed. That happens to be my agent and parked in that parking lot. So I know it's there.
I was wondering how they got all that impervious coverage.
They did a stormwater plan.
Wow. Thank you. Any other questions for Chuck? Sorry, Chuck, just was curious. If there's no discussion on this, I'll make a motion that we accept the financial security in amount of $11,549 provided as members First Federal Credit Union Order of credit number 897854-0000, entered into the agreement to provide financial security between NAMRAG LLC and the Township for Stormwater Management Plan for them for S-2019-013. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. And now we will turn to board correspondence. Mr. Daly.
I'd like to thank Parks and Rec, the parade that we had last Tuesday. I'm still exhausted from running behind the truck. But I want to thank the Parks and Rec for a great job. The police department, the fire department, they protected us and watched over us. I think we lapped the parade, our group did. So I think somehow next year we have to talk about either lengthening it or restricting the amount of people.
That was the second time in 25 years that that occurred. So we're talking about potentially maybe extending it one more block.
I think that would be a
great
idea.
That's a good problem to have when we have that many
sessions.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, I'll get more exercise that way.
Crowd was 3D too.
Oh, yeah. That was an excellent crowd. Excellent crowd. It was beautiful weather too. Just to add to that. I also want to add that we had Choctoberfest over the weekend. Unbelievable crowd. Everybody did a great job. Parks and Rec, again, did a great job. And all the volunteers. Lauren, did we have a rough count of how many people showed up? We should get Justin with his drone up there.
Yeah, at one point we talked to the officers who were on site and they estimated that we maybe had about 2,500 people at one time. So I would say we probably had 10,000 easily throughout the day.
Yeah.
It was a great event for us, and we had excellent weather, so that always contributes to turnout.
Between that and the weather for the parade, it was
absolutely beautiful day on Saturday. Yeah, you couldn't ask for a better day. Mm-hmm. And what do we have coming up?
Trick or treat
on
October 31st.
So just for FYI, Matt.
On Saturday, November 2nd, we're going to do our second tree planting for the year. We're going to be planting trees on the trail along Cocoa Avenue. And it's going to be 20 large trees along the trail. If you're interested in helping plant those trees, we'd love to have volunteers, the more the merrier. We will be meeting at the Butterfly Garden on Cocoa. And beside that, we're going to do some planting of another 30 trees in the rain garden area down by the rebuilt wetland. So we could use some help if you're interested. I'd like to add, this time the trees were not paid for by Tree Vitalize. We didn't get the Tree Vitalize grant this year. So these trees have been donated by people. Individual people and friends of Parks and Rec to plant the trail trees this year and continue the project.
Matt, what time do we meet the butterfly here?
9 o'clock.
That's November 2nd?
Yes, November 2nd.
We could put something in the e-news too.
Yeah,
so sure. Volunteers. That's great. Thank you for helping to meet that and letting us know about it. Hope you have good weather for that.
Hey, you too.
I'll echo Mr. Zamuda's comments about the parade and Choctoberfest. Thanks to the Parks and Rec, the Police Department, and the Downtown Hershey Association for their leadership on two fantastic events. Also wanted to let everyone know that Township Supervisors and School Board Directors have begun meeting. This has been sort of an ongoing thing that members of the Board of the Township and also the School District have gotten together quarterly, so we've begun doing those again, which is great. Always good to talk to our partners at the School District. And I also wanted to extend an invitation to everybody for the next Hershey Area All Things Diversity event, November 13th, starting at 5:30 at the Hershey Story Museum. This topic is about bodies and boundaries in the Me Too movement, and the Chief Operating Officer from the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Rape is going to be our guest speaker. So we've got plenty of room for people. We get a free supper that is provided through the support of the Hershey Company and Hershey Entertainment Resorts, and it's really a very informational evening, so hopefully many people can come out and enjoy that topic.
I'd like to repeat my colleagues' congratulations and thanks to the Police Department, Parks and Rec, and to the Downtown Hershey Association again for some remarkable events, and I think really have to say, it's these types of events that really set us apart and distinguish us as a very unique and special place in Central Pennsylvania. Just one of those, a couple of those events that really make you proud to be a resident of Hershey. So thank you and congratulations.
Just want to add that we had our monthly transportation meeting this morning and advanced several different items regarding transportation, discussed several different items regarding transportation. And then Chuck and Lauren, you want to give, not now, but when it comes to your turn, we should probably get on the record the most recent meeting that the we had regarding that Hershey Regional Transportation Study. That's it.
I know it's going to be a little unusual, but I actually have a few things tonight. We have Drug Take Back. National Drug Take Back Day is this Saturday, October 26th. We'll be partnering up with Penn State Health. We'll be up at 90 Hoop Drive, which is the academic support building, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a drive-up system, so you drive up, you don't even have to get out of the car. You can hand over the unwanted medication, prescription medication, to the folks there and get those out of your medicine cabinets. Trick or Treat was mentioned October 31st, Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We'll have some officers out in different areas of the township, just trying to remind people to slow down, look for all the kids that are trick or treating that night, and make sure everybody's safe. November brings in our second annual participation in No Shave November. So there'll be some officers donning beards and mustaches and goatees. They have to pay a donation to be able to do that in November. That money goes to the Joe Allegrini Children's Hero Fund. Some of their funding goes to the Children's Resource Center, which helps out child victims of sexual and physical abuse. Since 2016, Laura Paxton, last year and this year, our department and the sheriff's office have raised over $10,000 for that fund. I told the officers they can extend it into December if they give up some extra donations, so we'll see how that goes. And then the final thing is we have a department survey that is going to be posted to SurveyMonkey. This is an every 3 year venture that we are required to do through our accreditation, through the Commission on Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies, or what we call it, CALEA. So there's a short survey on there. I know it's going to go out in the newsletter. There will be a link for it. We'll put it out on our social media sites. We're required to do this, but we actually get a lot of good feedback to try to grow our agency and our performance with the community. That's all I have.
And Chief, you actually, we talked about this the other day, you have a drug take-back bin actually inside the station that's there 24/7. So if somebody misses this drug take-back, they can stop by, right?
24/7. They can come into the lobby, dispose of any unwanted prescription medications. There are some items that we cannot accept in the bin, liquids, needles, things like that. So there's a placard in the bin that are the items that we cannot accept. But I know the drug take back event on Saturday, a lot of those things will be accepted.
Thank you. Mr. Sassaman.
Just a couple things for the fire department. excuse me. We had an opportunity to support the half marathon that was this Sunday. It was very nice. Our fire prevention continues. For us, it turns out to be more like fire prevention month for us. When it's all said and done, we're going to estimate about 2,500 students and adults that we have been in contact with. Also, Sunday, we went down to the second alarm fire in Palmyra on Main Street there. For our air truck, it was the first major fire that it had since it had its refurbish time being done. That served 150 air cylinders that evening. We had 24 firefighters there, and they worked for over 4 hours at that scene. So I just wanted to update you on that. That's all I have for this evening.
Mr. Clark.
I guess the only thing I have to tell you is that the salt building is just about full. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Four-letter word, salt. And thank you, Tom, for driving in the Halloween parade.
Hey, were your Skechers out today?
No, okay. You were very kind to all of us, so thank you.
Tom, how are we making out with the dirt for the landfill?
We're pretty close to what we need to have. Good. And they're just about done next door. We're in pretty good shape.
That's great. So.
Laura? We're going to be starting on the library renovations next week. So there's going to be a slight change into traffic flow in the parking lot around the library, but it's very minimal, and we'll put out diagrams and have barriers up. The collections are in weird places right now, so we're trying to help people understand where they are temporarily. And operations will continue like normal for the most part, but if anything changes, I'll certainly let everybody know a lot of notice. I also want to thank Parks and Rec for allowing us to take some of their storage up with some of the items we needed to store, and Public Works for helping us move some of our large items out of the way. So as things change, I'll be sure to keep everyone updated on what's going on with us. Okay.
Cheryl?
I have nothing, thank you.
Just a couple real quick items. I'll certainly pass along recognitions for the parade to our staff. I really appreciate that. I know they will as well. In addition to the police department and fire department, I also want to recognize the Public Works Department for their amazing assistance prior to and after the parade as well. It takes a lot of infrastructure to get those events to run smoothly, and also for getting the park looking tremendous for Oktoberfest as well. So they do a great job. Two more community events coming up. This Saturday is our Schenck Park Halloween from 4:30 to 6:30. A lot of events and activities for kids at Schenck Park, and will also be our last drive-in movie at 7 o'clock. So I invite everyone to come up to Schenck Park for that annual event, and that continues to grow each year as well.
Yeah, it is nice. I know, but Matt, we wonder if we're going or not.
What's
that?
What's
the movie?
Coco.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, it's a good one. And then our annual Winter Arts and Crafts Show is Saturday, November 2nd from 9 to 3. So after you're done helping plant trees, you come over to the Arts and Craft Fair. We have close to 190 vendors this year, and it's at the Hershey High School. So that's all I have.
It's always hard to follow Matt with the good movies he has. Try to talk about stormwater.
Let's talk stormwater.
I just want to update the board on some of the work that DTMA has been doing and is getting ready to complete with some of the stormwater fees that's been collected. We had one of the major projects went out to Greenland Construction, and that's just about wrapping up. That was over $800,000 worth of work for pipes ahead of the paving on Bullfrog Valley Road, some work on Hilltop Road, Sipe Road, and Sutera Roads. That contract went very well. We're doing closeout documents now, and I'll be looking forward to the next project they want to tackle. So the money's being used very wisely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Emmer, anything else this evening?
I've already spoken, and Lauren's prepared to talk about the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Initiative.
So the steering committee for the Greater Hershey Regional Transportation Plan met last Thursday. Eric Sum from HRG facilitated that meeting and was able to share with us their analysis results of the identified intersections and different areas that we're considering. Again, it's a regional transportation plan, so in addition to Derry Township, it does consider portions of Londonderry Township as well as Hummelstown Borough. So they were able to look at proposed developments that we're aware of and expansions and determine how that would impact traffic, and then provide their preliminary recommendations on a series of projects to address some of the issues that we're talking about. This information was shared with the steering committee. We're supposed to be receiving a digital copy, although we don't have that yet. And their next step will then be to kind of refine those recommendations, associate some preliminary costs with them so that we're able to look at how we program those, you know, for years out. As you know, a lot of larger major transportation projects are many, many years in the making before you might actually see something in the ground. So this is really a first high-level planning step to look at our regional needs. Did anyone have questions on that before I?
Did that discussion reflect the development that Jonathan spoke about this evening?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but I can confirm. Do you know by chance? Yeah.
Well, I mean, it did put Middletown Road forward as a road to be expanded into four lanes.
Correct, so, yeah.
Yeah.
And we do have Representative Mahaffey is also involved and is very interested, I know, in that corridor and how developments in London Dairy connect with right. Dairy as well.
Right.
So, but I can check on that one specifically.
Thank you.
Sure. Anything else?
Hey, Laura, was that open to the public? That meeting we had?
The stakeholder meetings?
Yeah. Or is that just a stakeholder?
It's just a stakeholder group. I would anticipate that once we have more conclusive and complete report, we would have something to share at a public meeting here. We also talked about a potential HATS presentation.
Because I think this would be really interesting.
Of course, yeah. I don't think we're at a point where we have good concrete recommendations. It was more just here's what we've collected. The other thing to come also with that is a series of bike and pedestrian recommendations. We did conduct our bike ped survey. We had over 400 responses, which HRG tells us is pretty good for a bicycle and pedestrian survey. So, you know, they're working on that component as well.
I think it's a good idea to get it out to the public, just maybe build some enthusiasm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We need to see the bike lane painting on 322.
Right.
You guys notice that you're driving?
Yeah. Also, just wanted to, I know we're giving out a lot of kudos here, but Chucktoberfest really was a fantastic event for us this year. We had a really good committee of folks, volunteers, giving their time, working on it, managing all the vendor coordination, the coordination with community groups, all the advertising, Parks and Rec, Public Works, Police Department, all great partners in helping, you know, pre and post event and the police department day of. And, you know, everything. It's really nice to see it all come together. So I'm very thankful. And thanks to everyone that gave their time the day of the event as well to make it special. One last thing, Downtown Hershey related, and Parks and Rec, we always partner on the holiday celebration. We are shifting that event this year to Saturday, largely based on the availability of Santa Claus. So that event will be Saturday, December 7th from 2 to 6 p.m. And Downtown Hershey. So more details to come on that. I just figured since, you know, it's Halloween, retailers have Christmas decorations out, it's time to talk about the holidays. So, thank you.
Kristen, anything to add tonight?
Yeah, I really echo the comments everyone's kind of made this evening. As you all know, this is my first full year in Hershey and with my family, and so this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, go to Chucktoberfest and go to the Halloween parade, and, you know, we had just a fantastic time. My kids are still really sugared up.
Keep that going next week for you.
Yeah, so we have a lot more candy to come into our house, which we're not overly thrilled with, but we'll make it work. So I just want to thank everyone who's been involved in all of these events. I think it's just tremendous what this community does and all of the opportunity that you provide. And I can just say from us, from the Christmas, who's taking our manager hat off for a second, just thank you. I do appreciate it.
Thank you. Now we'll move on. I'll make a motion to approve accounts payable of $1,002,020.80 and payroll of $315,927.83. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Is approved. Now our last session of visitor and public comment. Again, we request that you try to keep your comments to 3 minutes or less and just approach the podium and give us your name and address and share your comments with us, please.
I suppose I should give it as Wayne Rivers, Cypress Court. He asked me to read this. He had to leave to pick up his daughter. And even though Greg had to leave, he would like to thank him and for his professionalism in offering up designs for others to view in detail. Wayne has Greg's email and will request those plans through some volunteers to review. And he will ask for feedback to be provided by 11-4. Is that acceptable?
That would be wonderful. Thanks for sharing that for Wayne.
Hey, Rich Gamble, Hawkinsville. One thing I've learned that when people talk,
The most important thing is usually at the end. And a lot of times it's really expressed with our consultants who we've had experience with prior to, cannot say it was a positive outcome. We're looking at the same consultants again, but what you didn't hear loud at the end was get another opinion. Susan, you overrode that. You didn't think it was important. You made a comment and you questioned him. You didn't want the quote, general people contacting him.
That's not what I said, Mr.
Well, you didn't want, you wanted professionals, supposedly.
No, I mean, I don't want to interrupt.
What did you say?
I don't want to interrupt you, but what I suggested was that there, if there are people who want to take a look at them, to reach out to Greg, and I said there are a lot of people who live in our community who would know what they're looking at. I mean, some of the people in this audience, me included, would not know how to comment on steel, but some people would. So I was encouraging everybody.
That's a point where you did not emphasize giving those people the opportunity.
I disagree with you, Mr. Gamble.
Okay, well, I
made sure that people understood how to reach out to him and by what date, because we do value the opinion of the public.
Okay, I'm sure he does, but I think the opinion of the public is going to be missed because there's not ample time. I said it earlier, we should have another public meeting so they can come in and look at it, touch it, and ask the questions. You know, we need to have that so we can see it. That's important. Secondly, the business plan. You know, it's like this. You're going to open up two Dunkin' Donuts side by side. Who do you think is going to make out the best? You know, we don't have a business plan for this. We don't know what this fitness center is going to do. We know that there's another fitness center opening up in the old Kmart building. How many, I mean, I see your yellow light, but how many fitness centers do we need in this town? And how can you be competitive? And when you talk about professionals reviewing the plans, we have two members on the board that are professionals, but they're not professionals credentialed to be engineers that are going to be necessary as a second opinion. I appreciate the work they've done. I'm glad you're involved. But when you want to talk about professionals, you don't have the credentials to need that, as the consultant said, get another look. Please do that. And closing, this was on the internet, looking at our financial responsibilities. Right now, as of today, we're 32.9% over budget, what was budgeted. Now, we didn't know about the unexpected $25,000 garbage. How many more of those things can pop up that's going to throw us even a deeper hole? So I'm just looking at numbers. And like you said, is it fair for the new board to come in and figure out how to pay for this? No, but I think you should give them the opportunity to have input into what a major, major expense is coming up. Thank you.
Mr. Gamble, I'm glad you brought that up because, as we all know, you can't believe everything you read on the internet. And Chris, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but we talked about this particular element that was on the internet this week in regards to our budget. So I'm going to completely put you on the spot and just ask you to kind of address that so people understand as much as you can provide in a short amount of time how our budget is put together and why that information is not accurate.
Well, I can try to do it in 30 seconds, but basically I had some information relayed to me late last week regarding something that's circulating about summarizing our accounts payable and payroll numbers in each of the board meetings. And the comparison against just the general fund shows exactly what Mr. Gamble was talking about. However, as this board's aware, we pay bills out of each and every fund, and the aggregate that you approve is actually, we're at 69% of budget, where we should be 75%, so we're actually under budget. So I don't think the numbers are correct what we're hearing tonight.
I hope that answers.
I'm only quoting what was printed. That's why I asked.
Right, but I think does Mr. Holbein, but Mr. Christmas said explains it. So, thank you, Chris. Does anybody else have any comments?
Just one quick comment or observation. Steve Foto's from Three Spring Creek Lane.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name, sir.
Steve Foto's, F-O-T-O-S, Three Spring Creek Lane, Hershey. We're building, as a community, this 75,000 square foot building, fairly complex. it's not a pad warehouse. It's got a number of different elements in it that are, obviously there are people competent to build it, but it's not a simple building. I noted that we had about a 4-week bid process for that. That seems rather short to me. So I understand the need for speed or the desire for speed. I'd like to kind of observe, not ask any question, I'm just observing that seems to be very short. It may preclude some people from making a bid that might be competent, but might choose to do another project instead, given whatever project management they had to contend with internally. So that's one observation. Second observation is dealing with the traffic problems. I'm a recent 2-year resident of Hershey, and I've already seen a marked increase in traffic on Chocolate Avenue, which is my only egress and ingress off of Spring Creek. I'm only a factor of 2 or 3 houses that use that road, so I don't really consider that my objections or observations are big. I mean, I don't really represent a lot of people in that regard. But Chocolate Avenue itself is pretty crowded. I'm getting more and more alarmed as I hear these other projects roll online as to how that 2-lane highway, which is a commuter highway going right through Chocolate Avenue, is going to deal with all this additional construction. And I viewed with great alarm the recent Downtown Association development project that had like 422 residential units in it. I understand it's a proposal and nothing more, but these proposals have a tendency to take on a life of their own over time. So my second observation is, I hope that we spend a lot of time on the traffic plan that goes into any of these projects, and maybe less time on the conceptual piece, because the traffic could turn this into where I moved away from many years ago, Long Island in New Jersey, where you've got strip malls and no way to regulate that traffic. Those are my only observations. Thank you. So just a couple of things. So with 30, it's a great point with regard to the bids. So 30 days, I questioned it as well. So the response that I got from our team was they're comfortable with it for 2 reasons. Number one, because the market's seen this already and they're waiting for the next version. So it's very different, but they know the site, they know a lot. So that's one reason. The other thing that they've been very careful to do is about 2 weeks ago, it was probably longer than that, 3 or 4 weeks ago, they sent out notices to all the bidding departments to say, it's possible that this will be coming before you tomorrow's date, whichever, on the 23rd. So they're kind of, they had the opportunity to maybe free up some area in their calendar, their bid department's calendar. So that's two things that made me feel a little bit more comfortable. The other thing on traffic, it's a great point, and I don't know if you heard the update on the Hershey Regional Transportation Study. So that's something that we as a board looked at a couple years ago and said, we're going to invest and get grant money to study traffic in this area like it's never been studied before. And so when we get together at those meetings, it's not just dairy residents or dairy leaders and our engineers, it's also neighboring communities. So neighboring school districts, neighboring municipalities, our local representatives, all looking at a very high level over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, what are the major improvements that are going to have to take place to avoid this becoming a nightmare? So just wanted to give you that feedback.
Thank you. Sure.
And I would just add, too, about the first point, that the worst case scenario, I would think, is that people potentially bidding would feed back maybe in an extension or more time. So either way, I think we'll be fine. So. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming tonight.
Okay.
Anybody else? Good evening.
Good evening. Dennis Trump, 2010 Locust Lane. As a retired professional engineer and having watched these proceedings for quite some time, first I want to thank Mr. Christman for getting the 24th of September PMF study on the web. There are some problems with DairyTownship.org's website in that searches would not pull that information up. It's a laborious process to get to where that is found. I would recommend getting that search engine fixed. And my second recommendation is not just have the information available to engineers. I'm retired. I'm not in that business. But the public should be able to look at this as they did or were able to if they could find it at DerryTownship.org. The plans and the bidding package should be made public to everyone. I commend the past efforts, and I think openness, and I thank the openness, well, the board's in session, but that openness should extend before the board meeting. I also applaud the enthusiasm of the board, but it should be dampened. Decisions should be delayed. Reasons? For the last many years, in fact, 3 years ago, Mr. Tim Meikle on Lancaster Online cited a written statement by Mr. Engel that this was an opportunity for this facility to be constructed at no cost to the taxpayers. Obviously, things have changed greatly. Also, there have been many infographics that have been presented in a great PR fashion, but the PR was all positive. It did not address the negatives, the cost, the fact that the cost annually of operations would be a factor of four greater than the present cost to maintain the pool. The consultants' plans and estimates have been in error. A third-party review is definitely needed in the opinion of this ex-professional engineer and former federal contracts monitor, consultant, and expert witness for the federal government. We need to consider the infrastructure costs, which have not been included. Public Works, the police department are going to be burdened by this center, which has been promoted to assist businesses, HERCO, hotels, and restaurants. The taxpayers are being asked to fund promotions. It should be acknowledged that there are individuals on past and present boards that have been developers and realtors and have are employees of businesses that have strong ties to HERCO and others. I realize my time has run out. I wasn't able to attend last meeting, but I think this is important to continue to request because past individuals have not recused themselves or abstained from voting on these issues. And the fact that others have presented the fact that this township should not be in competition with private businesses. That's not the taxpayers' responsibility. I urge those of you on this board to give the incoming board the courtesy of making the decisions. Haste makes waste, and a lot of waste has been condoned and constructed. This board knew well,
Mr. Gamble.
I know, but this board knew farewell back when they let the contractors do a fifth option that you knew would not pass.
Let's continue this after the meeting. I'm so sorry to do this to you because I realize you're very passionate about this, but you're over close to 5 minutes in your presentation and I do need to bring it to a close. So I appreciate your comments.
I appreciate it that if you would let the idea that haste makes waste take mention here and what a board that's going to take the heat for the cost overruns, which are inevitable, and the contract changes.
Thank you, Mr.
Enough said. Thank you.
And I will look into the website search. And Chris or Matt, I do have a question about the project. Can the public access that on PennBid, or is that something that we would have to put on our site if the public wanted to see the documents? Well, we'll look into that and figure it out.
I personally don't have a lot of experience with PennBid.
Do you remember from the last time?
I believe you can view it on PennBid, but let me confirm.
from
the... Okay. Yeah. Either way, we'll get the right information out to the public, so anybody, you would know.
But you have to have a login. You have to sign up for the pen, so they have a login.
Okay. Yeah, well, then we'll maybe we'll just provide Greg's email address in the e-news, and if anybody wants to see it, he can share it with them. We'll find some way of getting it out there.
So, Susan, may I take 1 minute? Because, Mr. Trout, I respect your comments. Thank you for making them. Your time's up. I'm not looking for a dialogue, but can I take 1 minute to address something? Because you've called me out twice for saying that this center can be done at no expense to the taxpayer. I just want to tell a very short story. We were looking years ago, we started this in 2014. Around that time, there was a newspaper article that came out from Lancaster that said that this project, this aquatic project in Lancaster, had failed. Okay, so I knew that these people were out looking. So I reached out to the newspaper reporter thinking that I'd like to talk to this developer, because if we could convince them to come to Derry Township and build a pool for a sort of a for-profit venture, then that's something that the township wouldn't have to do. And so that's what I did. Within a couple days, I bought the developer lunch, and I said, why don't you consider doing this in Derry Township? I think that's good economic development. I would hope that future supervisors make that phone call and do that. And so they had looked at possibly building the facility up the street, and if they were successful in doing that, we wouldn't be funding this aquatic. The reality is that private aquatic facilities don't get built. And that didn't get built. And so that's why I said that this, I talked about that project, and I'm not looking for any feedback. I wanted to tell you the story, and you said it publicly, so I'm telling you the story publicly. So I don't think that was a bad call for me to make. I tried to attract business to the township that would have saved taxpayers money, and I'd do it again, and I encourage future supervisors to do the same. That's it.
I appreciate your comments, but respond.
No, Mr. Trapp, please, no. With all due respect, we can continue this conversation in just a moment. I would respectfully ask for you to sit down. I do want to make one final comment before we adjourn, and that is that Election Day is coming up, and I wanted to thank the people who are running for this board. Nobody runs for the Board of Supervisors because they want to make friends or because they want to make a lot of money or because this is an easy job. We can all tell you that. So on behalf of our whole board, I would like to thank all the candidates who have stepped forward to run to support this community because it takes an awful lot to do that. So I commend you all and thank you for coming to our meetings over these last few months. And we look forward to working with whatever two of you are able to be victorious on November the 5th and welcoming you to our meetings and our executive sessions after that election is over. So thank you all for your service and your commitment to wanting to run. If no one else has anything further?
Oh.
Mr. Moyer moves to adjourn. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.